welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at Life Point in Westerville. I want to share with you a quick passage found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says this, or verse 11, it says, "Now, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what it is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised again." The passage is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. We continued on after last week looking at 1 Corinthians 5, I think 1 through 10, where Paul was talking about how important it is that we have a future, a home in heaven with a new body that God has prepared for us. He then is writing to the church at Corinth, who it's almost like he's trying to defend himself, saying, hey, you know, obviously we don't act the same way that some of the other people act. We're not trying to put a lot of pomp and glory into our ministry, and we're not trying to become famous or rich. We're simply trying to serve the Lord. And so people were criticizing him for that. And so here he is saying, you know, to them, look, you know, if we're out of our minds, it's for your sake. Why? Because we, you know, we love the Lord. And he says that statement, what it is that compels him, that love that compels him, is that if Christ died, then we all have died with him, then we've died to ourselves. And if Christ lives, then we live. So we should no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who died for us and was raised again. So that's the question. What does it mean to live for Christ? What does it mean to die to yourself, to put your needs and desires aside and live for higher desires? The reality is we all live for something. Think about it. You know, what is it that drives your life? What is it that makes you do the things that you do? What makes you motivated? What makes you excited? What makes you feel the most joy? What is it that you long for? Those are the things that really, you know, you could say that's what you're living for. And ultimately, our number one default is to live for ourselves. The things that we find most pleasure in usually have to do with things that benefit us. The things that we are motivated by, the things that we want out of life, ultimately, it comes down to things that we enjoy. Now, it doesn't mean some of those things aren't really fantastic. For example, being a good parent, being a good Christ follower, being a good worker, being a good neighbor, being a good child, being a great friend or neighbor, all those things are fantastic. But ultimately, if it's all about us, then those things are dependent on whatever our feelings are, and our feelings change nonstop. That's the thing. Haven't you found that to be true? That over time, that the things that used to motivate you no longer motivate you. Think about your 17-year-old self, and you would laugh at some of the things that used to motivate you at 17. But the reality is that to live for something greater than yourself, to have a higher purpose, that will supersede your default set. We know what that means, right? If you're a parent, you know what it's like to have a baby, and all of a sudden, because you have that baby, it supersedes what you really need, right? So you need sleep, your baby needs someone to, you know, bounce him and put him back to bed, and so you take care of your kid, right? What Paul is saying is that it's Christ, it's his purposes, it's his goals, because he died for us and rose again. That message of the gospel supersedes everything about his life. And what he's saying, he lives specifically by the love of Christ in order that others may know the love of Christ. That's what he's saying. That now supersedes his entire life, his entire drive, his entire motive, everything that happens in his life. This does not mean he doesn't have pleasures and desires and things that he wants. It means that they're superseded by an overarching motive in his heart, a love for Christ. So how do we do that? How do we pull that off? I think it's hidden there in that line where it says, we should live for him who died for us and rose again. We need to remember at all times the message of the gospel that we were once apart from God and he died for us. He found a way to draw us close to him. That is the essence of the beauty of the gospel. And that is the foundation of our love for Christ. You can't ever lose focus of that. God, I pray that my heart would be focused on you at all times. God, it's so easy to be distracted. I pray, Lord, that your gospel would just sound off like a gong in my brain. I pray that you'd help me to live a life that's for your glory and for something bigger than just myself. God, give me strength in my body so that I can live out the gospel. Take a second wherever you're at and just talk to the Lord about focusing in on the gospel and on who it is that was died and raised again. Until next time, God bless.